Welcome, everyone. We are really blessed to have all of you with us this morning, coming together to worship God. I want to especially thank Chad for his words here in the Lord's Supper this morning. And I don't know if I should mention it, but this is the first time that Chad has done that, and that's always a little bit intimidating, but wow, he did a great job, and really appreciate you stepping up and doing that for us this morning and leading. So I think we were all very encouraged by those words. I'd like to invite you this morning to open to Philippians chapter 4 and read several verses here. Philippians, the fourth chapter. Philippians is always a very uplifting letter to read, and I feel like these words are very appropriate and helpful. And he says here in verse 8, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again, though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." This has always been a very uplifting verse and passage to me personally, and I know many others find help in reading these words here in Philippians chapter 4. As we know, the a little bit of the background of the Apostle Paul was a prisoner while he was writing this letter. And yet his words are very full of joy and positive and uplifting for others as an example to each one of us still today. But especially these words stand out here in verses 11 and 12. And I want us to notice these together this morning. He said, "For I have learned that in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me," through Christ, in other words. We think about the idea that Paul is discussing here. He is, first of all, he is saying this is a personal experience that I have learned. It is a lesson that I have learned in my own life that is valuable to me, and I believe you can learn the same lesson that I have learned. A life lesson. It is a lesson that he is saying that in my life I have experienced the best at times, and at other times I have experienced the worst. So through that, I have learned a lesson that has helped me be able to face up to circumstances, whatever life brings. And so he said that I have learned to abound, to be full. There are times in my life that I have had abundance. I have had plenty of food to eat. I have had everything of this life that I would need. There are other times that I have been going hungry. I have been without, in other words. But he said, I have learned the secret of how to deal with this in my life. And when he says, I have learned this, it is letting us know that I did not always know this. There were times when I was younger and I was growing in my faith that I didn't understand this as I do now, that I have learned this. I have grown in this in my life. But now I feel I have come to a place where this really is helping me through life to be able to approach life this way with this mindset of this attitude that no matter what the circumstance is, I can deal with it through Christ. Through that strength that Christ provides to me, I can, whether I am full or whether I am empty, I can be content in that circumstance. Well, I want to say that this is a thing of attitude that I believe we all need to have. We all need to understand this lesson, and it is a prized treasure to have this in your life. That if you can say, as Paul is saying, I have learned this also, and I understand exactly what you are saying, Paul, then that is a treasure that you have in your life. But it is rare for us to really achieve this, I believe, in life. It is an elusive treasure for many people. And yet it is something worth a lifetime of learning to be able to grow in our faith to where we can approach life this way. And then we can have contentment. Just be content in life where we are, what we have, what God has provided and blessed us with. We are content with that. And that will overcome us in the anxiety, in the struggles, the feeling of uncomfortableness that we sometimes have, if we can learn to have this contentment. So how did Paul learn this? That is the question. And how can we learn it? Is this a lesson that I can learn, that you can learn, and you will understand and be able to approach your life this way? What a valuable lesson if we can learn this. Now, first of all, what the Bible says about contentment should make us aware that this is an important topic. This is something that every Christian needs to study and to strive to learn this, because life is going to have these different times. Things are good, things are not so good. And we might look at life this morning, our own lives, and we might say, well, honestly, I don't know that I have ever been in that extreme of what Paul is saying, where I have been totally full or I have been totally empty. Most of our lives has been somewhere in the middle. We've lived in a wonderful country. We have lived in a prosperous way of life that most of us would not ever have looked back in our life and say, I have a time in my life where I went hungry and I did not know where was going to be able to have my next meal. There are people living out on the streets. We know that some of them maybe are in that situation. Most of us would not look at our lives that way. And most of us have not been to the other extreme that we would say, I have had the very ultimate luxury of life, that wealth and fame and honor, and I have lived that life. Most of us have been more in the middle between those two extremes. But in some ways that is a blessing in itself, because in the book of Proverbs, in the 30th chapter of Proverbs, the Proverbs writer, he said that give me neither poverty nor riches. That's what he says. He says, give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food that is needful for me, lest I be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God. So he is saying that it is good to be somewhere in the medium there in your life. But the Apostle Paul has said, I have learned in every circumstance to be content. But the Old Testament implies that we need to be content in life. Now, it doesn't ever use the word contentment that I can find anywhere in the Old Testament. But it implies that a life of a believer in God, we ought to be content. We ought to have this attitude. So in Exodus 20, the Ten Commandments, the final commandment, it simply says, you shall not covet what your neighbor has, anything that belongs to your neighbor. Do not covet that. Do not desire it in an inordinate way of placing that as your, I need to have what my neighbor has. That's the opposite of contentment. That's covetousness. And in Proverbs 17 in verse 1, he says here, blessed, it is better, he said, to have a dry morsel with quietness than a house full of feasting with strife. I can appreciate that also, that it's better to have a dry morsel with quietness than a house full of feasting. That even though you have a modest lifestyle, but you have peace and harmony in your family, it's better that way than some people have. They live in the luxury, but their life is full of strife. So there's a place of that in our life. In Ecclesiastes 5, he said in verse 10, he who loves silver will not be satisfied with silver. You're going to continue to always want more and more. And our society today, I think it encourages that, or it breeds that. There's always something else that is held out there in front of us. But in Habakkuk chapter 3 and verse 17 and 18, this beautiful passage there in the book of Habakkuk, he says that though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. So there is a teaching there that is in the Old Testament that we need to trust God. We need to have an attitude of life that even if things aren't going so well, even if we're going through a hard times in our economy and in something very unfortunate happens in your life, yet we can rejoice in the Lord, the God of our salvation. And when we come to the New Testament has a lot to say about contentment. And John the Baptist was preaching and encouraging the people, commanding to repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. the soldiers came and they were in the audience with John. And he said to them, repent in their own way. He was explaining to them, but he said, be content with your wages. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 10, Paul is talking about his life once again, but he said, for the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, and hardships. For the sake of Christ, I'm content with those. I will accept those and be okay with them for the sake of Christ. 1 Timothy 6, verse 6 through 10, Paul talks about the fact here. He says that as we live our lives, he says, godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, to many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. So he is giving a warning here against greed in our lives, that godliness with contentment is great gain. Hebrews 13 and 5, he said, being content with such things as you have, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for the Lord has said, He Himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. There are many, many good passages that encourage us to learn to be content, develop that. And when we think of contentment in our life, what does it mean? Contentment is defined as to be free from care because of satisfaction with what is already one's own. And that is a good definition of it, I believe. To be free from care because of satisfaction with what is already one's own. So they go on to say in that definition, the International Standard Bible Encyclopedia said that contentment is more inward than satisfaction. Contentment is an inward attitude that is permanent, that you have this attitude of your life, like the Apostle Paul is saying, that it is always there in your heart and in your attitude, whereas satisfaction is based on the circumstances at that time. So contentment is a deeper spiritual inner attitude, state of mind that we can have. In the 1600s, Jeremiah Burroughs, it's the year 1646, he wrote the book that is still a classic about contentment, The Rare Jewel of Christian Contentment. And he said there in a definition that he gives that Christian contentment is that sweet, inward, quiet, gracious frame of spirit which freely submits to and delights in God's wise and fatherly disposal in every condition. So it's an attitude of, here's what God has given me, here's what God has provided for me, I'm content with that. I trust God that He has provided for me in His wisdom. So it is an attitude that you develop a sweet inward spirit of life, and you submit to that as this is what God gives. That's adequate, that's sufficient. I trust Him. But the Apostle Paul here is saying, I have learned the secret of this. And that indicates that it is something that he learned over time, that through the personal experiences, and he had this that he can share with others now that comes from his own learning it, and he has found it to be true. And what he is saying to us, first of all, is that focus on the blessings that Christ has given us. Make those the center of your thoughts. Focus on those blessings, those good things that God has given you. He says, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Meditate on these things. So God has given each one of us the ability to choose where we focus our attention. What are the good things in your life this morning? The good things about your family. What are the good things about your church, your work, your health, your life? You know, think about these blessings that God has given you. Because we have a tendency to complain. We start thinking about the things that we wish were different and we are missing out on in our life, and then we begin to be critical. We begin to complain about those things. And he is saying, I have learned this in my life. And the key to this is I focus on the good things. Think about those things that are lovely, honorable, just, things that God has blessed in my life with. And we can always find those if we begin to look for them. That there may be negatives, but we can choose to focus on the positives. And that is going to help us learn to be content. So make more out of your joys in your life than you do your sorrows. Make more out of your gains than your losses. And do this in your thinking. It starts on in your thinking. And then in the way you speak, talk about those things. Pray about those things in your life. And you can develop an attitude that in any circumstance of life, I can be thankful, I can be content. He says in verse 6 and 7, just before this, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So pray about it. Pray about the things you're thankful for. Give God thanks. Don't go to God and just always ask, Lord, give me this, give me this, give me this. We're going to be thinking about those things. Think about the blessings and give God the thanks for those. Martin Luther, he had a saying. He said, in your life, make the crosses small, make the mercies great. He's saying the same thing. Dwell on those positive things. You know, when we're listening to music, if we have a nice stereo, we can adjust the dials. And you can turn up the treble. You can turn down the bass. You can adjust those just to the right setting for you to enjoy the music more. It's the same music, but you adjust the settings until it is most pleasing to you. That's what Paul is saying about this, that whenever there is something in your life that is like a cross to bear, turn it down. But when there are mercies of God and blessings of God, turn it up, turn up the volume on that. And that is learning to be content. Now, he's not saying that problems don't exist in your life. He's not ignoring those. He understands that sometimes we have pain. Sometimes we have suffering that we deal with in life. He had plenty of it in his own life as an apostle. But you can put it in an area of your life that is not what you are going to focus your thoughts on. You're still going to focus on thanking God for the other things. I may have a body that is chronically in pain, but I have a healthy mind that God has given me. And I praise Him for that. Jeremiah Burroughs, in his book about the rare jewel of contentment, he said that, comparing that with parents, he said you might have one child that is giving you a lot of strife in your life. But he said, don't think about that. Think about the one he has given you that is giving you the joy in your life. Dwell on that. Because overall, think of the blessings that you have. David had one son that was Absalom. And Absalom went out and did a rebellion against his father, and he ended up being hanged in the tree. And David was weeping, and he said, "Oh, my son Absalom, would that I have died instead of you." But he had another son, Solomon, that was a joy to David. And he should have, and he could have been saying, "Oh, my son Solomon, thank you, Lord, for this wonderful son you have blessed me with." So in your life, we can choose where we put the main emphasis in our thinking. And that does a lot of good for us. And he also is showing us here that he has learned that through Christ, it will strengthen us. So we need to be confident in Christ, that Christ is with us in our life, and that when we are facing hardships in life, and when we face them with a confidence that Jesus is with us, He gives us an additional strength to deal with that in your life. Now, there is a close connection of what he says here with 2 Corinthians 12. And in 2 Corinthians 12, 7 and 8, he is telling us that he had a thorn that was given to him in the flesh. And it was something very painful to him, apparently. And he said it was always with him. He always had to deal with this in his life. And he could never get away from it. He could never overcome it. It was always there. But he said, "A thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure." He said it was God had given him such revelations that he was taken up into the third heaven, and so that he was not lifted up with pride, God gave him a thorn in the flesh. He said, "Concerning this, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me." Well, this shows here, we learn that it doesn't mean that we just ignore when we have painful things that are going on in our life. Paul did not just accept it and say, "Well, I'm not even going to be bothered by it at all from this point on." No, he said, "I prayed for it three times that God would take it away." He wasn't happy with it. He wasn't okay with it in that sense, but he prayed that God would take it away. And yet, he still had that. But he said, "The Lord explained to me this lesson." He said, "And he said to me," that is, the Lord said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I am strong. So that is how he learned to approach his life. The Lord said, "My grace is sufficient for you." And that is true for us as well. So we can learn to see that in life, when we have a thorn in the flesh, that doesn't mean we have to just accept it and not make any effort to overcome it. Obviously, you would like to see it healed up. You would like to see it go away. And that's okay. But we pray to God about it. In 1 Corinthians 7, the Apostle Paul was writing about some of them were slaves, some of them were bondservants. And he said, if you're a bondservant, he said, seek to be set free from it. He said that is okay to want to improve your circumstance if at all possible. But Paul is saying, my grace is sufficient for you. So I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Whenever I'm dealing with things that are difficult in life, then if I am putting my trust in Jesus as my Lord, then he's going to give me special strength that I need to deal with it. So it is a growth process. It is a growing in my faith to learn to be content. And it is learning to live for Christ as Paul did. If we want to learn the lesson of being content the way Paul was content, we have to learn to live the way Paul lived his life. And he explains that also in Philippians chapter 1. He said, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. The Apostle Paul had accepted the fact that his life was tied up with Christ in the center of his life, and that he was living for Christ. Therefore, when he would die, it would be gain to him. Now, it would be helpful for each one of us to fill in the blanks next to what Paul is saying here in your life. For to me to live is blank. What would you put in it? To me to live is this. And we have to decide on that. What is it that is most important to me in my life? What am I living for? Am I living for my vacation? Am I living for sports? Am I living for my recreation? If we are living for anything else there other than Christ, then when we get to the end of the sentence, to die is loss. Because when we die, we're going to lose whatever that is we're living for. But it's only when we're living for Christ that when life comes to an end, it's going to be gain. Christ is going to give me back everything that I have given up for him, and then more also. So contentment is a journey. It's a journey in my faith. It's a journey in my relationship with God to get to the point that I'm no longer filled with anxiety. I'm filled with peace. And I'm no longer troubled at these things. I find joy in them. It doesn't mean that God is always going to take them away, but I am going to see that as a matter of joy, that I can see Christ is giving me his grace to deal with it. Paul said concerning his life, he said, for I am hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. So he was looking at the possibility that he might be put to death. He said, that's great. That would be wonderful. They put me to death. That means I get to go live with the Lord forever and ever. And he said in Philippians 2 and verse 17, if I am being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you. He could look at his life this way then, always, that whether up or down, he knew that he was living for Christ. And where did he learn this lesson? He learned it from Christ himself. He said, I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. Jesus, before eternity, he was abounding. He was in heaven with the Father. But he chose to come down here to the earth and humble himself. He said in Philippians 2, verse 5, that who being in the form of God, made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. And then he goes on to explain that God has highly exalted him as a result of that. He has blessed him and raised him up that his name will be above every name, because Jesus humbled himself and was obedient to the will of his Father. We can all learn that lesson then, I believe, of contentment in our life as the Apostle Paul learned it. There are going to be times in life that God gives us an abundance. There's going to be other times in life that we face some hardships that we will have to learn to deal with. And if our heart is set upon Christ and serving Him, then it's all going to result in joy and all going to result in good. So Paul is sharing a valuable lesson with us in life. I have learned in all things, whatever the circumstance, to be content. I want to encourage us to be growing in our faith and thinking of these things, because the life that we live as Christians is a life that is very real in daily life in our relationship with the Lord. So we're going to invite any who are here this morning to come and commit your life to Jesus Christ. If you have done that, if you have any need for that, we invite you to come while we stand and sing the invitation song.
I heard the voice of Jesus say, come unto me.